Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Gospel of Matthew. Watch as Matthew, a one-time hated tax collector who was consumed with living just for the moment, is transformed into a powerful instrument for God. All because Matthew found Jesus, the one true Messiah of Israel and of the whole world. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Joshua chapter 15, Judea, or the tribe of Judah, was where God said, that's where I want you to settle. And where is Jerusalem? Within the region of Judea. This is speaking of Jews and Israel. Do you see that with me? Then those who are in Judea who see this abomination of desolation flee to the mountains. Write in your margin there, Isaiah 63, verse 1. These mountains are Bozra. B-O-Z-R-A-H. How do you say Bozra in its current designation? Petra, which is in southern Jordan. How many of you guys remember Indiana Jones and he's there with his dad? Do you remember at the end of the movie, they have to rescue Pop, opening from this narrow passage there. Carved into the sandstone face is that beautiful sort of Roman architectural building. That's where the Grail is. Well, not really. I've been to the back of that little building, and there's a hot dog stand in there. No, there's not a hot dog stand in there. But it doesn't go back very far. That area opens up to a whole city that on all sides are surrounding it mountains. You can only get to it through that one little narrow place about wide enough for a jeep to get through or horses single file. And I was there a number of years ago, and Pastor Chuck has been teaching this for years. Also, Chuck Missler believes this is where it is. And there's a number of very fascinating prophecies regarding Bozra and what God does there. When I was in Petra, our guide told us that there have been people over the ages who have been putting the MREs, meals ready to eat, and Bible tracts have been placed there. Why? Because there are many that believe that that's where the Jews are going to flee to. And you can only get there, as I said, horses single file, maybe a jeep. You can't get heavy mechanized weaponry in there. But then I used to think, well, what's the big deal? All you got to do is fly a helicopter over. Do your homework. By the time the midpoint of the Great Tribulation has started, there have been terrible judgments on the earth. And one of them, of fire and brimstone, could very well be thermonuclear activity. And if nukes go off in the upper atmosphere, what happens to the electronics within a 20, 30, or 100 mile radius? They get wiped out by what's called an electromagnetic pulse. When the Bible talks about horses, what a quaint notion. We know that World War III is not going to be fought with horses. What if the Bible is literally correct? And much of the mechanisms and vehicles have been rendered inoperative because of one electromagnetic pulse after another. And what if the Battle of Armageddon was in fact fought on horseback? And also, that would limit aircraft from going over this area that can shelter adequately over a million humans. Those are in Judea, not Fernley, not Washington, D.C., not Moscow. Jews flee to the mountains, possibly Bozra. Verse 17, let him who is on the housetop not even go down to take anything out of his house. Get out of town right now. Verse 18, let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Why is everybody running so fast to get out of town? Let me show you why. Revelation chapter 13 fills us in on what happens after the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. Chapter 13, verse 1. You have seen six seals pop. You are in a parenthetical section of the book of Revelation. We are now in the midst of what's known as the seventh seal. The seventh seal contains seven trumpet judgments. And then the seventh trumpet judgment contains seven bowl judgments. And there are reasons for that, but let's check it out, chapter 13. We are at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. A quarter of the earth has been killed, and then a third of the earth has been killed, and the Antichrist has run roughshod over every nation. But something's happening to his kingdom. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Right in your margin there, Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. We know who this character is. This is the representation of the last world empire that the humans will ever command. And this is the Antichrist in model form. And on his horns, ten crowns, and on his head, blasphemous name. Verse 2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. If you've been with us in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, we know who this is. These are the world empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and then Greece. But if you're savvy, you'll notice leopard, bear, lion. In Daniel chapter 7, it was lion, bear, leopard. Why are they in reverse order? Because on this side of the cross, like a mirror, wouldn't they be in a reflective position? Now the dragon gave him his power. The dragon, of course, is the devil. The devil gives this human, this Antichrist, his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. Right in your margin, Zechariah 11, verse 17. Yeah, somebody tries to assassinate the Antichrist. And it looks like his wound is going to kill him. And suddenly he revives and stands up. In my personal opinion, I think the wound did kill him. And he is reanimated, resurrected from the dead by the devil himself. If the Antichrist dies and all the medical personnel proclaim his death, clinically, there's no brain activity, physiologically, his entire processes have ceased, and they write his certificate of death, and suddenly he sits up, would that give him great credibility? And isn't that just like the devil who counterfeits everything? He counterfeits the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Only it's not God resurrecting the body, it's a fallen angel, Lucifer. Talked all about in Zechariah 11. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled. Now that's not a good word. That's the Greek word thumazo, and it means great fear. Why? Because it would seem when he is killed, much of the world goes, whoo, because he's been steamrolling everybody. Now he's gone until he sits up again. And now the world's going, uh-oh. Verse 4. So they worship the dragon, the devil, who gave authority to the beast, the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like this guy? Who is able to make war with him? No one can prevail. Verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. That's all in the book of Daniel chapter 7 for more of the story. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. What's the math on that? That's 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Verse 6. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle. The Antichrist was the one who gives the Jews the temple. That's why they think he's Messiah. Not anymore. He's got a statue of himself there. And look who else this Antichrist is blaspheming. And those who dwell in heaven. You know who that is? That's you. The church that got raptured 3.5 years in front. They're terrible. They're awful people. Well, say the Antichrist, I know what happened to them and where they went and why millions disappeared. Verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. More on that in a moment, but circle that if you would. This is important in our Matthew study. And overcome them. I can tell you who it's not. It's not the church. When Peter says, I know who you are, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus says, that's right, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And on this principle that I am Messiah, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This can't be the church. Has there been those that have persecuted portions of the bride of Christ? Absolutely. But ultimately and fully, has the church ever been stomped out? Nope. Voltaire predicted that it would be. He was wrong. Within a generation after he proclaimed that, they were printing Bibles on his press. Also, with apologies to our Mormon friends, when Joseph Smith Jr., he claims, hears the angel Moroni, Joseph Smith Jr. says, all these denominations, which one is correct? And Moroni says to him, none of them. They're all apostate. We have to start over with you, young Joseph Smith Jr. Does that fly in the face of Matthew 16 when Jesus said that his church would not fail? Verse 7. And it was granted to him, the Antichrist, to make war with the saints. These are going to be tribulation saints. Will there be believers after the rapture? Yes, there will. Some have estimated perhaps more than have ever been evangelized before. We hope so. And overcome them. And authority was given to him, the Antichrist, over how many tribes, everybody? Every tribe. How many tongues? How many nations? Every nation. And verse number 8, say this next word with me. All. Antiochus tried. Hitler tried. But God saw to it that they weren't going to succeed because the time wasn't right yet. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship this Antichrist. Those who have not been written in the book of life. So there's hope. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, even during the Great Tribulation, don't take the mark, whatever you do. Your allegiance to Jesus Christ and pronunciation that he is God will kill most of the tribulation saints. But some will survive. Let's keep reading. Those who do worship the Antichrist are those whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Skip to verse 11. The Antichrist is going to have a henchman. Someone's going to help him. This is the false prophet. Let's read about him. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. This is fascinating. You have to put your Jewish glasses on. Prophetically, the beautiful land is always in reference to Israel. Is that what's being mentioned here? Can't say for sure, but if it is, this false prophet will rise out of Israel. He's going to be a Jewish false prophet. He had two horns like a lamb. Parenthetically, do lambs typically have horns? No. He's going to look like a lamb, except he's got these horns. And he spoke like a dragon or the devil. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the Antichrist, or that first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. If you're sitting here this morning or within the sound of my voice and you're thinking, I don't know if I'd buy all this rapture stuff, come on. I'll tell you what I will do though. I'll wait, and if millions have disappeared, well then I'll believe and I'll jump in on your team. Be careful. Look what happens when the universal pouring out of the Holy Spirit to everyone, bringing conviction of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment to come, that was poured out in the second chapter of the book of Acts, Pentecost. That same pouring out of the Holy Spirit as we know him, that's going to be removed with the church. The Spirit will still be working in the world, but he will be working in an Old Testament sort of style, pouring out on Samson, pouring out on Elijah and Elisha. Verse 13, he, the false prophet, performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth and in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs. If you can't receive Jesus Christ now in the peaceful atmosphere of 350 South Rock Boulevard, with the Holy Spirit poured out on the planet, knocking on the door of your heart, if you can't receive the Lord now, what makes you think you're going to receive the Lord then? Telling those who dwell on the earth, make an image of the beast. Here comes the statue. Who was wounded by the sword but lived, verse 15. And he was granted power to give breath to the image. This isn't going to be an inanimate object like Zeus when Antiochus put his likeness there. This is going to be a breathing, apparently living statue. Chuck Mister believes it's going to be a hologram. I don't know. We'll see. And that image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as who would not worship the image to be killed. He causes, what's your next word? All, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Don't take the mark. You watching on video, if somehow this video has made it to you, and millions have disappeared, and there is compelling things happening on the earth, and you're watching it on your iPhone or on your computer or on television, trying to explain where all of the Christians went. Maybe it's an alien who lands on the White House lawn and shakes hands with the Antichrist. I don't know. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Not your keychain or license plate, or you won't stay in the hotel on the sixth floor, you know, with room 666. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't matter. That doesn't have any power. It's a coincidence. This is going to be the number of a man, and that number is 666. Six is the number of man. What day was man created on? Sixth day. And the number three is redemption. Six, number of man, three times, man redeems. That's the blasphemy, you see. Only the Greeks and only the Hebrew alphabet have what's called gematria. A through Z, or Alpha through Omega, or in Hebrew, Aleph and Tau. Every letter has a corresponding numerical equivalent. So John Smith, if you write your name in Greek, you can add up the numeric equivalents of those letters, and you can come up with a sum at the end of the sentence. That's probably what it means. Now that we know, when you see the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist, through the power of the false prophet, has put a speaking, breathing, it would seem, seeing statue, just like Antiochus IV did. Get out of Dodge. This is the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. The Antichrist, the human, has been mortally wounded. We saw that. Revelation 13, Zechariah 11, verse 17. A counterfeit resurrection, along with the false prophet's miracles, everybody is worshiping the Antichrist. In Revelation 12, verse 9, don't forget, Lucifer and the demons, they've been cast out of heaven at this time. A lot of people think that the devil lives in hell. No, that's a Greek understanding of Hades. The Bible says that the fallen angel Lucifer is usually where? He's on Audi Boulevard in Sparks. You ever try to make that light there? The Bible tells us where he spends most of his time, in heaven. And what is he doing there? He's accusing you. He has access to heaven, does Lucifer, and some angels. But in Revelation 12, verse 9, he's thrown out of heaven. He's given a key to the abuso. Some demons that are so nasty, God locked them away in Noah's time. Some of those awful demons who've been incarcerated since Genesis 6, they're going to be let out. And the Bible says it's like a smoke that comes out. It's not a real smoke. Have you ever seen the swallows come back to San Juan Capistrano? Or have you ever seen the bats at dusk flying out of their bat cave? It looks like a what? Like a cloud. Those are going to be awful, awful, awful demons. They're let out of the abuso. Lucifer and all the fallen angels are tossed out of heaven. Where are they abiding? On the surface of the earth. Woe to the humans. It is so bad that for 5 months, some humans are saying, I can't take this anymore. And they try to kill themselves. But they don't die. What? Blam! I'm still here, minus the top of my head. How grotesque is that? For 5 months, they try to kill themselves and cannot. They'll maybe toss themselves off of tall buildings, smash and break every bone in their body, but will not die. How is that even possible? Beloved, when the spirit of a man or woman is removed from the body, whose job is that? That's the Lord's. Jesus said, when they kill me, I'm the one who lays down my life. They don't take it from me. And then Jesus, as you know, then resurrected. For the space of 5 months in the last portion of the book of Revelation, dead bodies, perhaps rotting and putrefying, are still alive with the spirit still inside of them. Have you ever wondered why the fascination of zombies? Have you noticed the glut on social media and on the television? Zombie apocalypse this and zombie that. The walking zombies, the walking dead, a.k.a. the Raiders. They've not been playing well. They've not been playing well. I'm not going to candy coat it. Why the sudden fascination with zombies? Is it the devil trying to desensitize the population? I don't know. We'll see. So then all the demons are relegated to the surface of the earth. The devil knows now he only has 1,260 days before Jesus is going to return in Revelation 19.
You've been listening to the Gospel of Matthew with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding that Jesus is the promised Messiah of God. It was that life-changing truth that turned Matthew's life around and restored him to his true calling, from serving self to serving the Savior of the world. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.